This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
On today's podcast, the one and only Adam Gilchrist talks a little bit about cricket and a lot about Rottnest.
He does.
And I teach him some stuff about
cricket. Yeah, you do,
as well.
Obviously.
And we find out he's in an upcoming ad for Lamb, but we don't ask him anything about it. So you're going to love that part.
Mm. Okay. Also, everybody's working on their summer bodies.
Yeah.
So people are considering self-tanning.
Yeah.
We give you some great stories that will serve as warnings during this period.
Cautionary tales.
Something that'll really creep you out is learning that someone's living in Nathan's house at the moment.
And they've showering. Nathan.
They've got long dark hair.
Oh, hopefully from their head.
So, yeah, we get stuck into that mystery.
Plus, we talk about what happens when you mistake someone who doesn't work in the shop for someone who does work in the shop. Ask them detailed questions.
This is to do with Linda McCartney's sausage rolls.
Obviously.
It'll make sense.
I mean, that just makes sense. Yeah.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
An unfortunate chap woke to find his feet had turned black.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a cause for alarm.
Yeah.
That suggests
a
circulatory issue and perhaps, you know, gangrene.
Yeah, he was panicking for half an hour until his wife told him that, oh, no, that was me. I use your socks as a self-tanning mitt.
And he wore them into bed.
Wore socks to bed.
We want to know about other cautionary fake tanning incidents. Danielle's in East Perth. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Danielle.
Dan, tell us what happened.
We're the kind of girls that aren't really organised, and fake tan tends to be one of those last minute kind of, oh my God, I'm so white scenarios.
Yes.
And this is my best friend and I, and she's like, oh, I've got this bottle of fake tan in the cupboard. I think I'll just chuck it on. I was like, yeah, no problem. Anyway, whilst it was developing, I was like, you know, it doesn't look right. It really doesn't sit right at all. It kind of almost looks green. Anyway, I went to the bottle and checked it, and it'd been expired for years. So I was like, oh my God, get it off.
Get it off.
Well,
what do you mean? Don't you want to be that sexy girl down the beach that looks pea green for summer?
Exactly. I was like, this is not the look we're going for tonight.
Danielle, it's not easy to get off, so...
No, it's not.
They say
it's
jiff, not. Don't they?
It literally stuck to... It wouldn't come off. Like, her skin was green. And I even was to the point, I was like, do you reckon if we put a bit of bleach on your leg with a glove and I scrubbed, do you reckon that would hurt your skin? Like, I was just trying to think, like, salt, sugar, olive oil. Yes.
I knew you wanted to look like you're out of a beauty ad, and instead you're out, you know, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's a skin disease.
All right, check the expiry date, everybody. There's a tip.
Well, then again, it's pea green and you still put it on your body. It's
pretty funny. But often, like, some of them are a weird colour when you put them on.
Well, bleach is purple.
But you don't know what it's going to, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It is.
Mature too. Graham's in Belldive. This morning, Graham.
Hi, how you doing?
Big G.
Now, talk to us about fake tanning. Do you have a cautionary tale?
Yes. So my whole family's from Scotland. We're all very, very pasty white. Mm-hmm. My dad in particular is a 6-foot-tall ginger man who loves his golf.
Yeah.
He wears the socks halfway up his calves and the short shorts. And when we first got to Australia, he covered everything in fake tan, everything in sunscreen, or so he thought.
Yeah.
And he puts all the sunscreen all over him and everything like that. And as you know, with fake tan, you're supposed to put it on and let it develop and then take it off.
Yeah.
Not only did he put it on and never take it off, he went to the golf for the entire day and kept reapplying it.
So he's a ginger ninja.
He didn't comprehend the difference between fake tan and sunscreen.
He just didn't think to check, really. It was all in the same bottle. It was in a squeezy pump bottle, so he covered it all over it. So it was just his face, his neck, his forearms, and the gap between the tall socks and the thing was the darkest bright orange. It was as bright as his hair was. It was ridiculous.
Oh, Graham, did you get a photo of this? Because this would just last the ages.
I think we do have a photo of it, but it'd be an old Polaroid-style photo.
Because it sounds like we found, like, the human embodiment of a twisty.
Okay, this is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We're talking about the perils of fake tan, whether you go and get it done, get a spray tan done, or do it yourself. There are cautionary tales aplenty. Sometimes it doesn't go to plan.
I just think about all the people who used to do solariums all the time.
Oh, I know. Well, that gives you cancer.
I tried that. Yeah. I tried one of the stand-up solariums, and all I could... I remember coming in and speaking about it here on air, and it reminded me of being in heaven and God's angry with you.
Cross it with a rotisserie chicken.
It's just like white light and heat and you're strapped up in the harness. It's a bit 50 Shades of Grey and you're naked.
Are you sure you're in a solarium?
Yeah, I'm sure I was. And the guy with the mask and the zip on the mouth comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Same experience I had. That's a solarium, isn't it?
And the guy with the whip as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, under that old man's house.
Yep, no, that is. Alison's in Gosnells. Hi, Ali.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ali.
Now, talk to us about your fake tanning debacle.
Well, I'm not a usual person to get spray tans because I'm either out in the sun sort of brown or I just submit to the fact that I'll be white and that's fine.
That's, right. that's my life.
That's called embracing the paste. Yes.
Yeah, and flush laziness, I guess. So a friend of mine recommended that I should get a spray tan because we had this event. So it was summer, like, you know, our amazing summer at the moment. Yeah. And I thought, cool, I'll just get it and all will be well.
You look beautiful.
And I didn't check the weather.
No.
And it was a day like today. So I got my spray tan and the lady told me how to look after it and everything. And then I got to the door to leave and it was raining. And I thought, oh,
now what
it's
do
not
I do?
Part of my car. I'll be okay.
And I remember her telling us, don't get it wet.
Okay.
Yeah, she did say that. Yeah, and so I made it to my car and I just sort of brushed myself off and thought, oh, so rub it all in. I'll be okay, I'll be okay. And when I got home, I had sort of reverse freckles. So
reverse freckles,
little pale spots all over you.
Reverse freckles.
I'm sorry. That's hilarious. I
the concept of reverse freckles is
so funny. Yeah. Sue's in Harrisdale. Morning, Sue.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Sue.
Now, talk to us about your fake tanning adventures.
Well, about 5 years ago, I went on a trip to Hawaii, yeah. And I'm probably even 10 times pastier than Nathan.
No, you couldn't be.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Oh, no, that means you are translucent.
We could have a competition. I would win hands down.
Oh, please, if I take my shirt off right now, you can see my lungs. Anyway.
I'm not that bad. I thought I need to get a tan to go to Hawaii because if anyone's ever been to Hawaii, everybody's brown.
Yes.
And I thought, right, my daughter's very dark skin. I thought, no way am I going down the beach with her. So I went to this tanning booth and I was so stressed out worrying about my holiday and what I need to pack and everything. And I went in the booth and it was one of those ones where you just sort of stand naked and they said, right, put your foot on your left foot on the, there's like feet on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Put your left foot there, your right foot there, and then halfway that sprays one sort of side and then turn around. Well, I got totally confused and I was saying, which way am I supposed to go? And it was just spraying out everywhere. And my hair had fallen out of the net and I had my eyes shut. And when I came out, I had like half of my body tan and a big line across my face. And I was like, oh my God. And I thought, I can't afford to get another one. So I ended up going to Hawaii like a half-baked person. So.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We want to know when you thought, perhaps you were the person like Nathan that thought a random stranger was a staff member and asked them a detailed question, or perhaps you're the person that gets mistaken for the staff all the time. Paul's in South Guildford. Hello.
Morning, guys.
Hey Paul.
All right, Paul, what's the story?
A few years ago, I'm a carpenter and I work for a company, and so quite often I'm in Bunnings and things. Now, our uniform shirts were bright red.
Yes.
So, and easily, you know, a dozen times or more, I've had people ask me where things were in the shop. And, of course, I go, I don't work there, but what do you need?
You knew the place so well, Paul.
Yeah, and you're a helpful guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what, well, the last time this happened, what did you go up find them? Help them find?
Oh, it's normally screws or fixings.
Yeah,
bolts of various natures and things like that, because that's generally what I was in the shop for.
And I do have to say, well done for helping them, because Bunnings stuff, they're wizards.
You
could take them a tiny washer, and show them. I go, yeah, no worries, and I'll take you straight to it.
It's like, 47 on the left-hand
side. How many years did you study to learn this floor plan that you know where that is?
I remember asking one guy at Bunnings for where some stuff was, and he had to ask someone else.
Oh.
And in a 10-year period, and I couldn't believe that. I was so ashamed of him.
He would have been fired.
I was so ashamed of him. Because you're the only one in the history of working at Bunnings doesn't know
every little thing.
Let's go to Chris in Harrisdale. Hi, Chris.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Chris.
What happened?
Yeah, I was walking through a chemist and I saw a girl that worked there that I'd known for a while, and so she was just stacking up one end, and I walked up behind her, I grabbed her on the shoulders, and I just screamed out, "Saved your life," and then she turned around and it wasn't her.
Oh.
What did she say?
She didn't say anything. She just looked at me with like the most evil stare. And I think if looks could kill, I think I would have been incinerated on the spot.
Saved your life.
Burst into flames, Chris.
The worst thing was I was trying to apologise to her and I couldn't do it because I was laughing so much. Yeah.
Nathan and Sean. Sometimes when you're in a shop, you need assistance.
You do.
And so you just ask the nearest person, evidently.
You usually think they were there, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah, because I mean, sometimes the way they were just standing there in front of a shelf made it look like they weren't there, Nathan.
She was near a rack. So,
what's the difference? Do you mean in Iran?
She was near a rack.
Afghanistan, which side?
Geography.
Let's go to Ryan in Forestfield. Hello.
Hi, guys. How you going?
All right. Ryan. Did somebody mistake you for staff?
Yes, they did. I was going into Kmart, and just at the front of the store, you know, you got the kitchen section.
Yeah, I know. I love Kmart.
I know. Doesn't everyone?
I know. It's the best.
and I was just picking up some stuff, and I didn't think I was in a Kmart uniform, but...
What were you
some
wearing?
Lady come up and she was looking at a juicer or something and she goes, "Oh, have you got this at home? Have you tried it? You know, does it work well?" And I was like, "Well, I don't really work here, but I do actually have this at home."
I am qualified to give advice.
Yes. So I said, yeah, it works really good. If you're thinking of a juicer, it's really cheap. Definitely go for it. And she goes, "Oh, yeah, cool. That's great." And so I did my shopping, but the guy at the front, you know, who checks your bag, he overheard and best thing happened ever.
Yeah.
He goes, "Hey, look, you're really helpful and we're so appreciative. We'll give you the staff discount as well." Ultimate win.
That is an ultimate win.
A great victory.
Oh, that's the best Kmart story I've heard for ages.
And you give really good juicer advice.
You do.
Clearly. Yeah. Well done. Let's go to Leah in Munster. Hi, Leah.
How you going?
Hi, Leah.
Did you mistake somebody else for staff or did it happen to you?
No, I mistaken someone for staff. So it was around the Christmas time and I was doing the shopping for like making Rocky Brodas for a gift. And I stopped this lady because she actually looked like she worked there.
Yeah.
She ended up not working there. But in the end, I got a family recipe from her of Rocky Road.
A family recipe?
So what shop were you in? Were you just in a supermarket?
No, I was in St. George's Terrace, the Woolly. The Cole.
Yeah.
So I thought she worked there. And in the end, she didn't. And I got her family recipe of Rocky Road.
What's the secret to her family's Rocky Road?
She put coconut milk through it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And when you made this yourself, Leah, did you make it this yourself?
I made it, and it ended up being a hit. Everyone was like, "Oh, how'd you make it?" And I was like, "It's a secret."
Leah, can I know, did she pull like a bit of paper and a pen out of a handbag and
No, I did.
This is Nathan, Nat and Sean. We're going to throw back just a couple of years to Australia's greatest ever wicketkeeper batsman, and that is Adam Gilchrist. Good morning to you, Gilly.
Oh, Shawnee, good day, team. Jeez, you're throwing way back.
Come on, mate. It's not my memory. It's just the other day.
You're still the greatest. It's just that you haven't played for a little while.
No worries. I'll take that.
Happy New Year, guys.
We're great. We finish the year with you. We get you in the first week. We like to bookend the year with you, Gilly.
Yeah.
And we're just crap in the middle.
How are your holidays?
No, it's awesome.
It's great.
It's one of the, you know, everybody that's listening right now, you get back from your holidays, it's like they've never happened.
I know, it is. Before we went, Gilly, because I told you I was going to Sri Lanka, and it's like, who would you ask for advice about Sri Lanka other than a cricketer? That just makes sense. Yeah. And Gilly, you told me to go to the Gull Face Hotel. And
how was it?
Well, here's the thing. I looked everywhere for that hotel in Gaul. It turns out it's in Colombo.
Yeah.
So Gaul is a place.
Yeah.
And it's called the Gaul Face Hotel, but it's in Colombo.
Right.
Oh,
couldn't find it, Gilly.
Mate. Oh, dear.
Thanks
for
the tip.
That's a minor detail, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But take his word for it, Nat. It's a great spot.
Yeah, I believe you. Yeah.
Hey, Gilly, you were telling us before we went on a break that you were off to Roto for a short time. How was that, mate?
Yeah, magic. Absolutely brilliant. You just sort of take advantage of the fact that it's just over the water there. You sort of get to get there sometimes, but when you do, it's absolutely brilliant. Just for obviously where my kids, the ages that they're at, it's just the perfect spot to go to let them run amok.
I don't think that I've been there since uni.
It's amazing, you know, mate. I was there a couple of weeks ago. It's brilliant.
I'm going to say something controversial as a Western Australian, as a proud West Australian. I've never stayed the night.
I've stayed the night once. It was the first time that I was at uni. I think this is the last time I was there. I was at uni. I went over there with a lot of American exchange students from uni, and I drank all this passion pop the night before. And the next day, I went snorkeling and threw up through my snorkel.
Mm. Oh, tremendous!
Thank you. I've stayed the night there many times when I wasn't going to stay the night.
Sure.
And I just woke up on the beach, freezing.
But we should never go over to Toronto. Is it? Hey, Gilly, well, is it really fancy now? Because I just remember it being in these old huts. And
no, they're still there.
Nah, I reckon you can stay, there's a couple of really good spots, but the accommodation, the chalets, or the, I think that's what they call them, they're just perfect. They've been refurbed, but just, you know, nice basic sort of coat of paint. They're pretty simple, but they're all our family needs. And I think that from what I can gather, the pricing of it's come back in a little bit. It got a bit away on everything, and it was a bit cheaper to go to Bali and all that. But I reckon it's a realistic holiday now, and the ferries are brilliant. The service is great. They've sort of tidied everything up, but it's not over the top.
Do you have to take your own food over? I know there's bakery.
No, there's a great, there's a couple of great shops there.
Yeah, what?
You've got brilliant sort of shops there by way of supermarket and a few good little sort of cafes and stuff. But you can take all your food over there, so you can do it as expensive or as cheaply as you want. But the best thing is, it's old school. At morning, the kids disappear. They come back when they're hungry.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, you all regather and have a laugh about
the
day.
Did you get a quokka selfie?
Oh, I didn't, but geez, I got my phone back from Archie, 9-year-old, and I'd run out of memory if you had that on there.
It's the greatest pub in Australia too, by the way. Now, Gilly, we need to talk.
No better view.
Yeah. The Perth Scorchers last night, gee, they were good. 156 they posted. I thought, no way, is that going to be enough?
Yeah.
But
given that Brendan McCallum has been known to completely unleash,
geez,
you know,
smashes them when he does. But the bowling attack, gee, they're just so versatile, as I keep hearing on the commentary. Anyway,
they are exactly that. And I just need to preface too. I'm not on the payroll from Tourism WA. That was from the heart.
That was from the heart. No, they're with you.
Now they're just going to give you the east end of the island. But anyway.
No, they do.
Now tell us all about Funbury.
Yeah, that's right. I'll get down there later on, next interview. But I am on the payroll of Channel 10, so I better talk
for you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, of course.
And Scorchers, they were brilliant last night. Michael Klinger just getting better with age. He just keeps, he provided the backbone of the innings, got 81 off about 50-odd balls. But, you're right, Shawnee, they just know how to defend really well, that bowling lineup. They've got so many options of types of bowlers. The massive positive for me continues to be Mitchell Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about sort of going back a year or two's throwback. He could be playing international cricket.
He's still intimidating, isn't he? Yeah. Still, hey, Gilly, let's talk about AJ Tye and the hat-trick that he didn't know about. As a keeper, you would have known when somebody was on a hat-trick, wouldn't you?
Everything happens. I think, in my time, I reckon, yes. But things happen so quickly in T20 cricket that it's just helter-skelter. And the unique thing about that hat-trick was he got a wicket off the last ball of one over.
Yes.
And then someone else bowls another full over.
Mm.
And there might have been another wicket or two full in that. And then he comes back on and gets the last two wickets of the inning. So everyone's focusing on winning, on trying to keep the runs down. And wickets can be a bit of a byproduct of that. But, I'm sure he'll claim it. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Gilly, in case you're wondering, a hat-trick's getting somebody out three times in a row.
Nathan left that earlier this morning.
He thought I was the one person, though.
You've been briefed. I like it.
We had to explain it to him very slowly and in a lot of detail.
But I've learned that. Now I know when I go to the cricket this year.
Three wickets in three balls. Yeah,
Gilly, I'd imagine you would have been a part of a hat-trick. Did Shane Warne get a hat-trick with you? Glenn McGrath, maybe?
I was on the field when Glenn McGrath took a hat-trick at the Wacker, in fact, against the West Indies. And thanks for bringing it up, Sean. I was the middle wicket in a hat-trick. I got out. I was the second out of three people to get out in India. And the good thing is, it was not many people saw it. There was 100,000 people at the ground. and I kid you not, just before I went into bat on the TV, it had this little super that came up and said, Average viewing audience at the moment, 70 million in India. they're the ones that we know about. So, And I went out there and I got our first ball. And then second innings, I went out not exactly the same.
Who was bowling?
Harbhajan Singh. The Turbinator.
Yeah. Hey, he had some arc in his delivery.
When that happens to you, are you so embarrassed? What is it? What happens?
Mate, I scored 100 off 80 balls in the test prior. Yeah. I was king of the world. I was Leonardo DiCaprio up in front of the ship. And then I thought, life doesn't get any better. And I was right. It didn't. It just got worse.
Then the Titanic hit an iceberg. Yeah.
Exactly. I was taking water on board. But I remember the first innings, of, in answer to the question, I was walking off thinking, it was a pretty average decision. I actually hit the ball and was given out LBW, which is not out, actually.
I was walking off
sort of having a little smirk on my face and thinking, take the good with the bad, not that big a deal. And then when it happened the second time, I was shattered. I was embarrassed. I was getting laughed at by the... Anyway, it was all toughening up, all part of life.
LBW, leg before wicket?
Yes.
LBW, leg before wicket.
On fire, mate. Love it.
Hey! Yeah,
he's having a blinder today. Gilly, the Scorchers back in action against the Melbourne Stars on Saturday. Will you be calling that game?
Yes, I will. I'm actually in Melbourne at the moment to do the game tonight. I think the Renegades are taking on the Hobart Hurricanes, but... And that's do or die. Both teams need to win that. Otherwise, it's pretty much kaput for the year. But can't wait to be at the Furnace. Hopefully, I think it's another sellout. Yeah. And if they win that one, I reckon they're pretty close to top securing a home semi-final.
Okay. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
We want to know, is there evidence...
Nothing
that somebody,
some Garnier fructus,
a stranger has been in your house. But yeah, I mean, that's the only conclusion you can draw. Kimmy's in Safety Bay. Morning, Kimmy.
Good morning,
Kimmy. Look at me, Kimmy.
What's the evidence?
Well, I got a handbag for Christmas from my girlfriend, and she lives with me. And we went for a nice walk on the beach on New Year's morning. Mm-hmm. Came back, and my handbag is gone. It is like completely gone. We have turned the whole house upside down. So my neighbour came over to look for it. My kids have looked for it. It is nowhere. And it was a really nice bag.
Okay, so straight away you'd think someone's broken into your house and taken it, but nothing else in the house was taken.
Nothing else. Our wallets, our phones, everything was on the bench.
And it was just a new handbag.
My brand new handbag. I think they've come in the back door and seen it and gone, that's really awesome. I'll take it and run.
Do you think they thought all your stuff was in it? So that's just a grab, as in I'm grabbing that bag and hoping that wallets and keys were in it. Yeah.
Yep. But it's devastating. It was so nice.
They seem to be a pattern here. They seem to be coming through the back door, through the manhole.
Yeah.
You're right.
It goes on.
We've got to put that to the profiler who you give the DNA.
Yes. I've
really
seen
good point,
minds.
Kimmy. Thank you.
That's how it works.
Let's go to Shannon in Dawesville. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Hi, Shannon.
Is there evidence someone's been in your house?
Yeah, so I finished work one night at a bar I work in and was going home to my boyfriend's house in Dawesville. And he was down south. He'd been down south for a few days and no one was home. And I get home, go to have a shower, and notice there's this mini, like, impulse can. You know those mini deodorants that you used to have when you were 12 years old or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's this little mini impulse can lying on the bathroom table. So I thought, nothing of it. Went, had a shower, went to bed, then woke up the next morning and I couldn't stop thinking about it.
So this is at your boyfriend's house, yes?
Yeah. He's the only one that lives there, himself, no one else.
Yeah.
There seems an obvious explanation here, Shannon.
Natalie!
Well, all he said was, I have never seen an impulse can in my life. And no one had been home for like a few days. So he's like, I've never seen that in my entire life before. So to this day, we still don't know where this impulse can has come from.
Maybe one of you do. Joking, Shannon. I don't even know him and I trust him with my life.
Hang on a second. Sean?
Sean. Okay, yeah, Sean. Where's this
impulse is not men's deodorant.
Good point, Sean.
And then it was in your boyfriend's house.
Hey, Shannon.
And he doesn't know where it came from.
Shannon.
He's got no idea. Sean.
I reckon you should have kept that story to yourself.
I think the mystery was solved before you started speaking.
No. This is Nathan, Nat and Sean.
sometimes there are real mysteries in life, like why there could possibly be adult human hair wrapped around Nathan's shower.
Yeah, and then there's obvious explanations about like why there's a mini impulse can in your boyfriend's bathroom. But you might be blind to that. So
anyway.
Shannon, just so you know, we've been talking about you the whole break laughing.
No, but he lives by himself.
Yeah. And he said he'd never seen it before.
Yeah. You're right.
Tracy's from Alfred Cove. Hi, Trace.
Hi, how are you going?
Hi, Tracy. Has there been evidence someone's been in your place?
Oh, yes. About probably over 30 years ago, I was house-sitting a house. Yeah. And old school, where I had a camera that was sitting on the table, and about a month later, took the camera in to be processed, and there was a photo of me asleep.
Oh, no, that is creepy.
Crazy.
Never knew.
No.
Tracy.
So was that the only evidence? Like, was there anything
only
taken?
No, everything was locked up, the whole... everything. There was no evidence whatsoever.
How did that make you feel, Trace, after seeing that?
Terrible. Once I saw the photo.
Oh, you weren't looking your best.
Do you look good when you're asleep, Trace?
Like, yeah,
Julie.
Yeah, because not everybody does, you know.
How frightening.
Oh, and wouldn't it be terrible if you think back to that night and go, do you remember something not long lying across my forehead?
No, but you wouldn't even know when it was. Because, you develop the film, like, weeks down the track.
And how long were you at this house for, Trace?
Oh, I was only there for a couple of weeks, just house.
But, you know, every night you don't know.
By the way, let's just like go, since we're throwing back, let's throw back to the time where you would get a film developed and you'd wait 2 weeks for a ticket developed.
You would take,
remember that?
Boys and girls, you won't understand this. But we had to
cost like
get the film
$30 back
and
then.
You'd take it to the chemist for some reason.
Or, and then Kmart and start doing them.
And you would put it in a little envelope and they'd post it off and then you'd get your photos back.
And it would be at minimum 2 weeks and it would be minimum $30 for 24 pictures, and you had no way of checking if they're good or not.
That's right. You couldn't delete the bad ones.
God, that was crazy, wasn't it?
I know.
Good try.
Still freaks me out.
Oh, that's a creepy story.
That is creepy. Thanks, Trace. Let's go to Jeremy in Bertram. Hello.
Hi, how are you
getting?
Jeremy, is there any evidence someone's been in your house?
Yeah, I traveled out to Kalgoorlie once for work, and I was gone for about a week, and I come back, and I got home, and didn't really notice anything when I first got home, and I walked into the bedroom and I looked at the bed, and I was like, I thought I made the bed before I left. Yeah. But it was a mess and didn't think nothing of it. I thought, well, maybe just... Then I go back to the living room, sit down in a chair, and there's a shirt laying on the back of my chair. I'm like, this is not my shirt. I wear an extra large. This is an extra small.
Yeah.
I live alone, by the way.
Yes, you live alone.
And then also there was a bottle of wine I had bought for a friend's birthday. And 3/4 of this bottle of wine was gone with an empty glass sitting in the sink. But when I got home from my trip, all my house was locked up. Everything was locked when I got there. Talked to real estate people, told them I want a lock change, and they're like, oh, you got to call the police. So I call the police. Police come out, and they do the whole forensic thing. Yeah. They come and take pictures of the bedroom and the shirt and the whole nine yards. And they're like, well, do you want us to do anything? But I was like, they didn't do anything. They didn't take anything out of the house.
They just came in, relaxed, took the tiny little, obviously tiny little man's taking his shirt off because he's exhausted. He's had as much wine as he can drink, 3/4 of a bottle.
And then a nap.
So small.
And he's just curled up on his pillow. They had a nap, a drink, and left.
This is Nathan, Nat, and Sean.